Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, our long national nightmare is finally over. Of course, I'm talking about the Steelers' pursuit of a receiver. My God, when did that start? Limits. When did the Ayuk rumors start?
May? Oh. April? March?
I don't care if they brought in, like, anybody. Anybody would have done for me. You know, bring back Allen Robinson. I don't care. It's over. And there are mixed reviews on Mike Williams. And here to talk about that, our new friend Rich Cimini, who's coming on every week, it appears. He covers the Jets for ESPN.com. You can read his stuff. And Rich, I'm very interested to hear the truth about Mike Williams in New York. I think we all agree for $10 million, it didn't work out. Why? Was it more him, more them, Aaron Rodgers? Why didn't that work out, and what are the Steelers getting? Oh, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. In fact, just a short time ago, we asked that very question to their interim head coach, Jeff Ulbrich. And he said, I'll give you what he said, and I'll give you what I think is the real truth. He said, it's a little bit of everything. You know, some of it was us, it was him, just a little bit of everything. And they're happy that he's going to get an opportunity to get the ball, which was clearly not happening here in New York. I think he's a diminished player is what it comes down to. I mean, he's coming off a serious injury. He had the ACL last fall. I think it was late October when he had the surgery. And he didn't have any OTAs. He did very little in training camp, you know, and they got him ready to go for opening day, which was ahead of schedule. And he just has not produced for the Jets. I don't think his ability to separate, which was never really his strength. He was always a guy who would win a lot of 50-50 balls. But
yeah,
I didn't see any separation ability at all. In fact, if you look at all these different metrics that we are now obsessed with in our analytics world, like routes, yards per route, you know, and his open score that we track on ESPN, he was among the worst receivers in the league this year. And so I question what the Steelers are getting. I mean, I don't know what they're getting. I think they got a guy whose speed is diminished and is certainly not quite back to what he was before the injury.
So that's what they said and what you said, all encompassed there.
Yeah, so that the latter part is my opinion and what I've seen. And also, he did not get the reason why he got traded, let's be honest, is he didn't click with Aaron Rodgers. And that's not all their fault. Like I said, there's just a lot of lost time, you know, no OTAs. And to think that you were just going to plug a guy in week one and that he was going to have instant chemistry with a quarterback as particular as Aaron Rodgers was just a stretch. And then there were two cases, two games ended on interceptions on balls to Mike Williams this year. And then, of course, there was the infamous red line interception on that Monday night game against the Bills, where Rodgers called, uncharacteristic for any quarterback to call out a receiver, but after the game said basically that Williams ran the wrong route. And that's why we had this interception, and it ended the game for the Jets. And so once he called out Mike Williams publicly, I think Aaron already knew that they were getting Davante Adams. Now, that trade didn't officially happen until the next morning, but mm-hmm. I think that trade was well along in the process, and he knew that Mike Williams would probably be gone, a goner. So he basically threw him under the bus after that game. And then suddenly Mike Williams just kind of disappeared. You know, it's amazing how that happens. For the last few weeks, he's been, you know, persona non grata in the offense. He was out there, you know, but he didn't get any targets, you know, a couple, one or two. And so it was like Rodgers just froze him out, and then it trade became inevitable.
Tell us again the which I love the nickname for that interception, the red line interception. How did that come to be?
Well, what happened was, of course, you know, the red line is, you don't see the red line on a regulation NFL field, but, you know, NFL teams and their practice facility have a red line that runs vertically the length of the field just inside the numbers. I think it's about 5 yards from the sideline. And the players use it as a guide in practice when they run vertical routes. They follow the red line so they don't veer off to the sideline too much. And so it's just, and you're supposed to use it as an imaginary guide in a real game. And Mike Williams was supposed to run vertically down the quote unquote red line against the Bills with the game on the line at the end. And he did not. He broke off his route toward the sideline, which Rodgers did not expect. And he threw the interception. And afterwards, he painted a very clear picture afterwards about what Williams was supposed to do and what he didn't do.
How did Williams hold up? Emotionally hold up as far as work ethic? Like, I think Rodgers yesterday, I just saw a headline to this effect, said he's going to be good in the Pittsburgh locker room. Like, is he noted that way as a veteran receiver? Or what kind of guy and teammate was he?
You know, more of a quiet guy, not really a rah-rah type of guy. I think you have to give him credit for working hard to get back for week one. It was ahead of schedule. So he busted his rear end the entire offseason. He stayed here the entire offseason. He wasn't one of those guys, you know, like Rodgers, for instance, who went away somewhere to rehab. He stayed here, worked his way through it, and got back very quickly. So kudos to him for doing that. But he, I don't think he took the Davante Adams trade very well, because the day after the Adams trade, you know, Williams was a no-show at practice. They gave him a personal excuse. And then the next day, he was at practice, but it was one of the weirder sights that I've seen in a long time. He was at practice, and he was healthy, but he was not practicing. He was off on the side field, just basically doing some calisthenics and warm-up type. So he wasn't practicing, and the team refused to say what it was. They just said it was personal. I think he was just trying to... I think it was kind of a mental health break for him. I think he was just reeling after the Davante Adams trade, wondering what it meant for him in his role. And I think he probably needed a day or two, or 2 days, as it were, to just get in the right headspace.
Now, in the offseason, Rich, I know the Steelers had some interest in Mike Williams. Was it simply a case of the Jets giving him the most money? Is that how he wound up there?
Yeah, I think so. And I think probably, I mean, there was 1 year, $10 million, I think about $8 million in change guaranteed. Also, the chance to play for an Aaron Rodgers, I have to believe, was very appealing to him.
Yeah.
Certainly, it was more attractive than a situation in Pittsburgh where I don't even know if they had Russell Wilson yet. I don't know when that trade happened, but certainly there were question marks about that quarterback situation with Fields and Wilson. So I think he saw a future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers and said, you know, I'm going to go there. And he signed to be the number two receiver, behind Garrett Wilson. And then suddenly after the Davante trade, he was the number four. Mm. And he expressed a desire to the team that he wanted to play elsewhere. And I think the team accommodated him, clearly.
Lastly, then, it sounds like, in your opinion, the best case scenario here is that he starts to sort of move ahead in his recovery from that injury, like starts to regain his form. But in the meantime, he is at least still a good 50-50 guy, jump ball guy, maybe your red zone weapon.
Yeah, that's what you would think you'd get from him. The Jets really didn't use him in that fashion. I don't know if he only had 10 or 12 receptions with the Jets. I don't know the exact number. He was not targeted many times at all. And as I said, two of those targets resulted in interceptions, both late game on the line kind of situations. He did not score a touchdown. They didn't really utilize him in the red zone that much. He had a couple of nice acrobatic type catches on third down situations, one a fourth down situation. So, yeah, I think that's what they're going to get. They're going to get a guy who is still probably not 100% in terms of his speed and cutting ability. But, you know, if you throw up a 50-50, he'll, you know, I think, you know, with his size at 6'4", and his instincts, you know, I think he's got a good chance of coming down with it.
Last question, Rich, is that the Jets remain interesting to me. I mean, it's not like the bottom of the AFC playoff field is you know, littered with great teams. They just beat Houston. They've got a lot of teams right around 500, basically for the rest of the year, except for their game at Buffalo. Arizona, right. Indy, Seattle, Miami, Jacksonville, Rams, Miami. Those are a lot of winnable games. Do you think this is a playoff team?
No, not at all. I think their hole is big to get out of. That New England loss a couple of weeks ago was a killer. You know, they did play well in the second half against Houston to save their season. And, you know, but now they're meeting an Arizona team that's won three in a row. And it looks like they've found an identity there, but running the ball, which stopping the run is not exactly the Jets' forte, as Steeler fans saw in that Sunday night game. Their run defense was awful in that game.
Yeah.
And so can they win six or seven, you know, to get to 9 or 10 wins? I don't see it. I mean, they are playing a favorable schedule, but this team has too many flaws. And I think they'll probably get to 8 wins, and that'll probably be the max for them.
Rich, we really appreciate you taking the time. Everybody's curious what exactly the Steelers got here, and you helped us understand. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All right, Limits. That wasn't such a rosy picture of Mike Williams, but I think it was a realistic one. Patrick Peterson basically said the same thing to Andrew Filippone on their podcast, was this is a guy coming off an injury and is still affected by that. Last fall had an ACL. Now, as Rich just said, it was never Mike Williams' MO to be separating from people. He's the 50-50 guy. That's what he does. But if his speed has been reduced, and that's what Rich said, he called him a diminished player coming off a serious injury. I don't know about this, Limits. Red zone, I can see it. They don't even use Freiermuth, though. He's supposed to be a red zone guy, too.
They don't use 6'7 Darnell Washington in the red zone.
Freiermuth is underutilized right now.
Yes.
And what are they going to do with this guy? I wanted a different player. I did. I wanted Thielen. For all the reasons Peterson said, he's a contrast to Pickens. He's an inside guy, could be also be an outside guy. He's a safety blanket for your quarterback who's going to get open in those little spaces. This guy is not that. He's different. He's more like Pickens, although he's not George Pickens. Maybe in his younger days they were comparable, but the same style. I don't know. I'm going from a C+ to a C-. This was a consolation prize at the end that it felt like they reached for. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a C. They probably could have given up just a 6th-round draft pick, but they're giving that pick away to the Bears for Justin Fields. They gave the 7th away for Preston Smith. What else did they have to offer, unless they offered a 2026 pick, and did the Jets really want that?
And then are we looking at a mentor for the younger receivers?
I guess.
I don't know. Van Jefferson can be that. I don't care about that.
I don't know how good this guy is.
A guy who didn't show up for practice the day after they traded for somebody else? I don't know.
I don't know how good he still is, Mike Williams, and I just don't think he has much left in the tank. I think he can be okay.
Now, the better scenario is that, okay, it takes everybody a while to get up to speed, and he's out of the madhouse that was New York with a quarterback who didn't like him. Believe me, I am 100% on board with giving this guy a chance to make believers of us. Because that's a plausible scenario, too. When your quarterback doesn't seemingly really like you, at least as a player, and you're in that kind of environment, the Jets, is there a more sort of toxic environment in all of the NFL than there? They fired their coach 5 minutes into the season. They're maybe the most underachieving team in the league, or one of two or three. So that's possible too, is simply getting out of New York and coming to an offense where you go from a guy who went out of his way to put you on blast in Aaron Rodgers to Mr. Relentlessly Positive himself. And I mean that as a compliment, Russell Wilson.
No toxic positivity.
No, helpful positivity in this case. You know, maybe this could be good for Mike Williams. So to put it mildly, I'm torn on this signing. Let's ask Mark Cabali about all this next.
What Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Is that all we're getting is done?
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride. I still think mine was the best.
Broncos country, let's ride.
That's what Russell does. He's brought out the best in George Pickens, both in attitude and production. Maybe he'll do the same with Mike Williams. I think that's real. Real possibilities here. My Blue Jays hat looks great on the screen. Does it not, Limits?
Yeah, I think it does. It definitely looks a little bit brighter.
That was an unenthusiastic review of the Blue Jays cap.
I've seen the Blue Jays cap a lot.
You have a way of undercutting my enthusiasm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think you undercut my enthusiasm sometimes?
So yours is based on revenge?
No.
Then why did you mention it immediately when I said you undercut my enthusiasm?
I just asked a follow-up question.
We should go to group therapy. Me, you, and Donnie Football can go to a... Oh, I needed that. I needed that. And I did. I still am thinking about how we can shoehorn Dr. Dick into a weekly segment.
That'd be great. What's the marketing perspective of Steelers Commanders? Jaden Daniels, what's the marketing like there?
There's so much to talk about all the time with sports marketing. What is NIL but marketing and economics, right? We could talk about Pitt. We could talk about college sports every week. We could talk about the plight of the Penguins. I was just reading a piece, was it Rossi, about declining attendance. What would you call the segment? I don't know. Something, what's sports marketing? Economics? Help me out here while I'm brainstorming.
Well, I mean, there'd be some economics involved. There'd be some advertising involved.
On the spot with Dr. Dick. Dollars with Dr. Dick. I don't know.
He should come up with the name.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe he can text in. I know he's listening. Well,
is
I don't
he?
Know
Does
that,
he listen a lot?
I've been told that he listens a lot, or at least friends of Dr. Dick listen a lot.
Yeah. We had a student of Dr. Dick in here one day.
Yes.
Forget it. Can I hear Pony with, as George in Washington calling Bup? We had George in Washington check in with Dulac today in his mailbag, which was unbelievable. There were questions from Dr. Kornfetter, Stairway to Seventh Seed, Harry Callis. Hello, Jerry.
Harry voted.
Yeah. Can you explain to me how the Steelers are getting their money's worth in Pat Freiermuth? Jerry says they are not. And I agree. George in Washington called. Bubby don't mop up for nobody. Andrew Pony was one. You know what Andrew Pony's question was? Would this be our Andrew or someone?
I think this might be our Andrew.
Really?
Do you think Pony just asks like 12 questions in the mailbag and puts random names like Andrew Pony, Harry Callis?
I think that's possible.
Yeah.
Anyways, he says, is it true that Tomlin is not a fan of Tyler Boyd because of the comment after a game a couple years back he made regarding the Steelers being quitters? Jerry says, I don't know who said it was true. That's an interesting answer.
Maybe the big boy could answer.
George Thorogood also weighed in with a question. A lot of people asking about the defensive line, which I can respect. What's a synonym for marketing here? Why don't we do this before we go? Do you think that Dr. Dick would do that with us?
Possibly. I think he'd probably like it.
Yeah. I'll think of something that rhymes. I'll think of something good. Up next, the big boy. Talking about Mike Williams, talking about Preston Smith, talking about the Commanders. Suddenly, after a little bit of time off, the Steelers have taken center stage again, and man, they are right in the thick of it.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the big boy, Mark Cabali, from the Pat McAfee Show. And what a man he is, Mark Cabali. I think we're all in agreeance on that, if agreeance is the right word I'm looking for. What's the difference between agreeance and agreement? Mark, do you know?
Aren't you a professor at Waynesburg? Shouldn't you know this?
No, professor would be overstating it. I was merely a hired gun for a couple of sports writing classes.
Yeah, I heard all you guys did was like watch old football games.
Well, old basketball games. I introduce the class every semester by turning off all the lights, not saying hello to them, and putting on old Bob McAdoo highlights.
Wow. Then the next day, half the class dropped it.
No. The next day I had more people there.
He definitely has that machismo.
Jack Hillgrove, Bill's grandson, was in my class, and he'll never get over the opening salvo there of Bob McAdoo highlights. Because I spread the word of Bob McAdoo, who's the first great shooting big man in the NBA and doesn't get enough credit, Mark. But we didn't come here to talk about Bob McAdoo. We came here to talk about Mike Williams, him and Preston Smith. And I want you to give a grade on each trade and then expound for a minute or two if you know what expound means.
Well, where do you want to start? Mike Williams, I guess, the big name
sure.
of the two? I'd give it a solid B. I mean, considering what they had to deal with here at such a late notice of, not late notice, but at least a lot of late push to get somebody. I think he's coming in here to be a piece of the puzzle, not the final piece. I think they'll use him in certain situations. And like I said, considering what they had to work with, I think it's a pretty good pick.
Wasn't that a self-created situation of what they had to work with by not moving earlier on this? And let me just tell you, and I'm not saying either way here. I'm just telling you what Rich Cimini from ESPN, who's covered him, said, that Mike Williams is a, quote, diminished player coming off a serious injury.
Yeah, he's 13 months removed from that knee injury, and it normally takes, you know, a little bit longer than that. But you're not asking him to do much more than run down the field and catch the ball at this point. I mean, let's be honest here. If Christian Kirk didn't tear up his shoulder, he would be here right now and not Mike Williams. So, you know, and they did go after, what I was told, they did go after. They wanted DK Metcalf. Seattle didn't want anything to do with moving him. They wanted Cortland Sutton. Denver didn't want anything to do with that, moving him. And they wanted Steve Slayton. And the concussion issue there.
Steve Slayton was the running back from West Virginia.
Gary Slayton.
I love Darius Steve Slayton. Him and Pat White were unbelievable together.
They wanted Darius Slayton, but they were, first of all, the Giants got a little bit cold feet there. They wanted to keep him around. They looked at Adam Thielen, and they pretty much backed off of him because he was 34 years old, and they're still not 100% sure about a 34-year-old's hamstring that's been on the shelf for 2 months, which leads you to not many options, Joe. So considering all that, you got somebody that at least can fill in and is was good in his prime, maybe not in his prime anymore, but I think he could help this team out.
I mean, that's hardly a glowing endorsement. They got somebody who was good and can fill in from time to time.
Well, they're not asking him to come in here to be the number two.
Why? I mean, I thought that's what they wanted.
No, I mean, in the perfect world, they would want that. But that perfect world broke his collarbone 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago. The perfect world decided to go play with his buddy in New York. And the other perfect world, decided to re-sign with the 49ers. I mean, you need two parties to come together, right? I mean, just because the Steelers want somebody doesn't mean they're going to get them. The other team's going to have to want to move them. In certain cases, like Adams and Ayuk, they would want to come here too. So it's not like they weren't trying to find somebody. It was just a situation where it was hard to find somebody to come in here who, they thought they had Kirk, but that didn't work out. But you bring Mike Williams in here, you provide depth, number one. You throw him out there 15, 20 times a game. You throw the ball deep down the field. Now they got three guys. They're known for going down the field. Four, if you want to even count Calvin Austin, because Van Jefferson's a guy that's historically been the guy to be able to get down the field as well.
Well, how many moon balls can one guy throw?
That's what they want to do.
Well, how about somebody who can get open in the middle of the field? Somebody who can get open, within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage.
That's where the tight ends and
they don't use him.
The running backs. Well, they haven't used them as much as maybe they should have, but they are using Darnell Washington more than we were expected here as well. I mean, plus the swing passes to Najee, Jalen's coming back, Cordero's coming back. I mean, they got to figure this stuff out here, of course, but I think they're a better team now than they were a couple days ago, at least in depth-wise, too. Like I said, you don't want to have an injury to Van Jefferson, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, where's Scotty Miller at? Where's Andy Isabella at? Or now they just activated Ben Skowronek. Where's Ben Skowronek?
Did I ever tell you about my Aunt Isabella? She lived in Maryland. We used to drive.
She ran a 4.2.
No, she didn't. Does Andy?
Oh yeah, very small, very fast.
Just not very
I think
good.
They just cut him though. I think they just cut him off the practice squad. Now I think about it.
So what about
scratch him off the list?
Yeah, forget about him. Preston Smith, give that one a grade.
I don't even look at the money there, because they have no intention on signing him next year at that price. It's going to be like, hey, if you want to come back, this is our price. So it's only that what he's due rest of this year and a seventh-round pick. And they had three seventh-round picks this year, or this upcoming draft, because they got two from the Kenny Pickett trade. So now they have any two. So that's basically a throwaway. That's getting a guy for free. Once again, as depth, he can obviously an edge rusher. So he's done, but in a pinch, he can play that outside defensive end type of role as well. Once again, you're looking at the future here, and you're saying, where do we need depth at to be able to, if something happens, where do we go? We don't want to be pulling guys, Sean Spence off the street from 8 years ago, stuff like that. So he's more of a piece that can help until Herbig comes back, that prevents Highsmith and Watt from playing 85% of the snaps, and in a pinch, he can play multiple positions. So I don't see, he's not going to be great, I don't think, but he just basically got him for free.
Yeah, and what's your grade on him?
Probably a good B+. Once again, it doesn't cost anything, so you're
it
just
don't
getting
cost
a guy
nothing.
Who has he got 68 career sacks for nothing? Or the rest of the salary for this year, which is minimal. So, he might not produce, but you might not need him to produce. But if you do, all of a sudden he becomes very valuable.
I see problems with depth on the defensive line. I know he can put his hand in the ground, but he's really an edge rusher. Do you? Ogunjobi, I don't think, is having a great year. I think Benton's been a little uneven. Cam's been great. And where's the depth? And they're getting run on.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dean Lowry and those guys, but those are mid-level players.
Mid-level is kind, yes.
Yeah, Loudermilk's gotten a little bit better this year as well. I think Montrezl Adams will eventually be back. But I think if it gets to that point where people are out for a long period of time, they'll just switch things around. Like, they'll do a lot more nickel type of situation and some of those big nickels where you only need two defensive linemen. The problem with that is historically, when they play Baltimore, they do that heavy look of basically four defensive, almost like a 4-3 type of thing. You can't do that if one of your guys are out. So defensive linemen, they're hard to find, and people don't like to give them up very often as well. So, if there was one place you would have thought they would have looked at, and maybe they did, I don't know. It would be defensive line, but once again, you're not probably going to get anybody, Joe.
I'm not looking for Deacon Jones. I'm looking for not Dean Lowry. I mean,
what I'm saying is, if you're getting a guy now at the deadline, he's an Isaiah Loudermilk or a Dean Lowry or a Logan Lee or whoever it is.
Why is his phone clicking like this, Limit? Is it him or us?
I think it's our system.
I think it's him.
How is it me?
I do. Because it doesn't. It happened with Rich Cimini too.
So yeah. That must be you then.
No, it's you. You've got a broken phone. Where are you? In your car? In the parking lot again?
I'm right in the outside the Steelers facility.
Yeah, my experience is that's not a good place to make a call from. You're going to need
to
do.
Bars. I got full bars. So
he's got full bars. What's the problem here, Limits? Why does this always happen?
It might be our system then. I don't know. That is not my department.
I know.
It's
IT. I don't do carts and things of that nature.
Remember IT?
Yeah. Where's he these days? Our little
up
intern.
At school. Yeah. Intern Trent, IT.
What a wonderful man he was.
I don't know what clicking means. I mean, am I cutting out?
Yes, you're cutting out. It's clicking, and every time you talk, you can only hear half of what you say, which doesn't make for a great interview.
I got full bars.
Okay.
I blame you. I blame IT, whoever you're talking about.
Yeah, it is his fault. Stop. I can't take that anymore. That and the Ron laughing, no more. They've played out. Do you agree?
And you laugh at the Ron laughing. Come on now.
What I will take is Pompeiani singing the Rick Springfield and the passion with which he brought that. And a little Elvis Costello sort of sound to this, Mark.
No.
Impressed?
I've seen Bob in action before at the owner's meeting where he's dancing to some, what's that, the guy's name, Pitbull or something like that.
Really?
So, oh yeah, I could send it to you. It's pretty impressive.
Wait, at the NFL owner's meetings like in Arizona?
Yeah, probably about 5 years ago.
Did they see him? Did the owner see him do all this?
Everybody saw him do it. There's hundreds of people there, but I made sure I videotaped it.
You have that video?
Absolutely, I have him dance. I don't think it was Pitbull. It was one of those guys.
Send it along for Monday when Bob's in here. I'll put it out on social media as a little tease to the show, if you would, please.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I appreciate you showing up to the showdown on Sunday.
I had stomach problems. I told Bob I have a stomach condition. This is unbelievable. I'm getting called out for being sick, Limits.
How sick were you?
Sick enough not to be there. I don't miss things like that.
Mark, sicknesses are definitely something that are hard to deal with.
It would have been, plus it would have been physically impossible. I was having more blowouts than the 07 Patriots.
Or the 1960 World Series.
Yeah. Unbelievable. This guy calls me out on national radio.
Well, I was just relaying what Pomp was saying before the show started.
What did he say?
No, I'm kidding. He didn't say anything. He just said, it's only you two tonight. And I'm like, okay. Then I see Joe Starkey 10 o'clock Monday morning after the morning show, and you're like bubbly as can be, so that Pepto must have worked.
Well, yes. The next day, a lot of times, you're better after conditions like that.
Need a good night's rest.
Can you believe this guy, Limits? May I engage this guy in a game of free association?
No.
I got you off your game, man. I love it.
No, I'm ready. This is themed.
Let's do it.
This is themed on Jerry Dulac's mailbag. Are you ready for this, Mark?
Okay.
All right.
I love Jerry Dulac, of course.
He's asked by Dr. Kornfetter, whoever that is. I don't know who that is. Hello, Mr. Dulac. proposed Najee Harris extension. 3 years, $24 million. Who says no, Najee or the Steelers? Jerry says the Steelers. Do you agree with that, that they wouldn't sign him for 3 and 24?
Wow. Well, obviously, it's going to depend on what happens the rest of this year. But if you're Najee Harris and has a good second half like you have the first half, you earned the right to go check out free agency. So I would go check it out. Maybe you can get more. So
that wasn't
Najee,
the question.
I wouldn't do it.
That wasn't the question.
Well,
I said,
that was my answer.
If you're the Steelers, are you telling me you wouldn't do 3 for 24 for Najee? Would you? Yes or no?
Right now, no. Maybe that changes in February.
Well, yeah. Right, I mean, now, no. Assuming he plays really well the rest of the year, do you think 3 for 24 is reasonable?
Oh, it's definitely reasonable. It's up there with, you know, the Josh Jacobs of the world and the guys like that. But the problem is Joe, is you got the guy, the ready replacement there, at least in their eyes, from Jalen Warren.
Well, here's what else Dulac said.
A lot younger.
Yeah. Well, not a lot younger. Here's what Jerry Dulac says about that. I have always believed they will sign Najee after the season, so long as he wants to stay there. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, big boy.
That's fine. Like I said, he goes to free agency, and all of a sudden, you know, Team X says, hey, we want you for 5 years at $40 million and three quarters of it's guaranteed. What do you do?
Percent chance Najee stays.
Yeah, I'll say 40.
All right. Here's a question from Harry Callis. Hello, Jerry. Can you explain to me how the Steelers are getting their money's worth in Pat Freiermuth? Dulac says they are not. Do you agree with that?
We're talking 8 games here. Let's hold off a little bit before we label this a terrible signing.
Labeled it a terrible signing. They simply said, so far, you're not getting your money's worth. Is it true or no, and whose fault is it?
Well, I don't think it's his fault. I mean, Russell Wilson's only been quarterback for 2 weeks now, so I don't think you can make that determination right now or not, even this year. I think he's a guy that's probably, what, eighth in highest paid tight ends? What do you want? I mean, it's not like he's...
I don't know that the intimation here is ripping Freiermuth as much as they're not getting their money's worth because they're not using him. They're not using
him. They do need to use him more, absolutely, but it just hasn't worked out. I would imagine that will come relatively soon where he'll have... So, I mean, to answer the question how it's presented, no. They're not getting his money's worth for him through 8 games, but that definitely doesn't mean they won't get their money's worth through 3 more years.
Somebody calling themselves Andrew Pony says, is it true that Mike Tomlin is not a fan of Tyler Boyd because of the comment a couple years ago regarding the Steelers quitting? Jerry Dulac says, I don't know who said that was true. What have you heard about that?
Well, I don't know about Mike Tomlin specifically not liking him because of what he said. I just know that the Steelers weren't interested in it. Somebody within the organization, player-wise, pretty much stood up and said, nah, well, we don't want him here. And so, I mean, it wasn't the coach.
Okay.
It was a player, I think. Yeah, must have had some pull.
All right. The next.
It was, and I don't know who it is.
Okay. I'm just asking. The next person is called Bubby Don't Mop Up for Nobody. Is Keanu Benton hurt? Asks Bubby. At times, it looks like he's playing on roller skates being handled by one blocker. Dulac says, I'll tell him. How do you see Benton's play so far? Is this fair from Bubby Don't Mop Up for Nobody?
I think he is. He's been banged up for a while. He's obviously not saying too much and not on the injury report, but he's not 100% right now. But I think we were just expecting a tremendous jump from him from 1 to 2, just like we were expecting a tremendous jump from Broderick Jones from 1 to 2. It just hasn't really panned out that way quite yet, but I'm sure. Like, I know he's been banged up, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt right there, but he hasn't performed as well as we thought he would.
All right. Last one is from a guy calling himself George in Washington. This guy, George in Washington, says, Jerry, if Broderick Jones stinks at right tackle, who's to say that moving him to left tackle next year makes him better? Jerry says because he's more comfortable on the left side, and Limits over here agrees. He thinks that Broderick Jones would make for a better left tackle. Do you agree?
Man, I think he's going to have to next year, right? With Dan Moore likely gone. So you're going to get your wish. I don't know if he's better or not. He's had 15 games in college at left tackle. He's had more games at right tackle in the pros. I don't know, man. Like I said, a guy as athletic and talented as Broderick Jones, moving from right to left should not be a big deal for that guy. Maybe for some, but not for that guy.
Well, so. Sure, a big deal for Dan Moore. He seems wholly incapable of playing on the right side.
Do you think that Dan Moore and Broderick Jones are the same athletic style and ability? I don't think so.
That's a good point, isn't it, Limits? I think an excellent point.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good point.
I thought it was a great point. I disagree with you.
Because Brian Baldinger said differently.
Did he? What did he say?
Oh, no, you always bring it up. You can't switch offensive linemen because it's too hard. I can't remember who you say. Maybe it was Schlereth.
The last one is from somebody named Sal. Happy Wednesday, Jerry. Is there a real possibility Fatano returns this season? Jerry says not for the regular season. They have their fingers crossed he could return for the postseason, but I don't know if that's realistic. What have you heard, big boy?
I really haven't looked into it much. I've only seen him a handful of times. Last time I saw him, he was using a cane.
Ask him.
I don't see him very much.
You said all it takes is once.
Yeah, I saw him using a cane. So
that doesn't sound promising.
Right there, that's, you know.
Although him with a cane would be better than Broderick Jones, right?
I mean, a guy using a cane is just absolutely tremendous. So I like him as it is. I don't know, man. I think they would just be willing just to let this year be wasted and come back next year and have a fresh start. But like I said, that's pure speculation because I have not asked.
Thank you, big boy. You're one of a kind.
All right. Take some more Pepto, buddy. Pepto is great, greatest medicine there is.
How does it work? I was thinking about it the other day. If I'm having
you up or something,
I mean, if I'm having more blowouts than the 1960 World Series, and I take a little pink pill, how does that stop them? What happens?
Well, next after you take this pink pill and you have another blowout. Just check the shade of your blowout, then that will tell you. We're not being graphic.
Sure, glad I asked that. Thank you, big boy.
All right, let's see it.
What a man he is, huh, Limits?
Yes, goodbye, Mark.
What did you find most interesting about that interview?
Free association.
Which part?
Probably his reaction to George in Washington and all the above.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. All right, do we have another big boy coming in?
Yes.
Donnie Football.
Yes.
We're going to tease ahead to Donnie Football Friday and get this guy's thoughts on the trades and on this week's game. Let's focus a little more on this game. I was watching Good Morning Football today. This is, if not the game of the week, it's one of a couple. Now, this is great stuff. You have an electric Washington offense going against a Steeler offense that has 400 yards in back-to-back games. Matt Canada had 44 tries at that. I think he was 0 for 44. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.